Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Thursday, which means we head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where we're joined by our friend, IA Hall of Famer Lucy Burch from DraftKings. And Lucy, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. And we can tell just by following you on Instagram that you like to gallivant. You get out and about. So with that, I'll ask you, have you ever been to a mafia-backed rigged poker match before?
Yes, well, good afternoon. You know, if I had, I would never say.
That's a good point.
What the mafia does.
Snitches get stitches, Lucy.
Exactly. There's no such thing as La Cosa Nostra. So I don't know what they're talking about. No, I've never. Because if I had, I would say, you know what? No, thank you. I'm just going to watch because. I have so many questions, first of all, most of them for Chauncey Billups. Playing poker with the mafia and you think that's going to end well? You have never watched The Sopranos. And I know The Sopranos is not real life, but it is...
It's pretty close.
It is what is commonly referred to as the closest depiction of what the mafia is. And they did a whole storyline about what happens when you literally play poker with the mafia. You lose your sporting goods store, Ramsey Outdoors.
Yeah, oh, boy, yeah.
So, big problem.
Ramsey Outdoors, shut up.
Sports and Outdoors. You're sleeping in a tent in your sporting goods store that you no longer own. So that's basically what happens, especially if you are the head coach of an NBA team. This is crazy. So, yeah, no, you don't want to be doing that. But also, questions for him about, you know, what is it like to play poker with the mafia? Where did he rank among them? Was he a capo? Was he a boss? Was he, what is that?
He obviously did pretty well, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be coming after him.
Well, it sounds to me, allegedly, that he was the one that was getting suckers to come to play these games. Like, he was in on the... He was, like, finding the fish to get people to come play.
But I guess, is there not any part of you, Burge? Because my reaction to this one was, while, you know, Cash Patel's thumping his chest about it, if you're playing in illegal card games... They might be rigged. We're policing this. Like, if you are lured into illegal dens of illegal activity where money is being exchanged hands that the IRS is not getting their hands on, then you might just get what's coming to you. I mean, am I the only one thinking that? We're worried about these people? These mooks?
Karma does not miss, and the FBI does not miss, and the mafia also does not miss, which is why I'm wondering who the rat is here.
Mm.
Because they are using all of this
technology...
Gilbert Arenas, maybe. They were using all this technology, like cameras, x-rays, all this stuff. And you think, oh, we're never going to get caught. You're down the line, you're going to get caught. And to have these two cases somehow in a small way intertwined into the same investigation with Terry Rozier and this Chauncey Billups case going on that are two separate things at the same time is wild. Here. And so I think they're also sending a message like you should not be, as the mafia also sends messages, so does the FBI. And they're like, you cannot be doing any of this. Illegal gambling will not stand, no matter who you are or what league you're in or what you're doing, whether it's sports gambling or poker with the mafia from the clouds. Because also at the same time, we have all of these tweets from people resurfacing these tweets about Terry Rozier and point shaving or
they
took lines down for this or like he's 0-10 and tried to dunk on LeBron. Like it's and people replying to his tweet saying, like, you got to make it a little less obvious.
Yeah.
And now, being like, wait a minute, it was in plain sight. And it's just so unbelievable that you couldn't see it at the time. And now it's like, wait a minute, this is so, it goes so deep.
I'm talking with Lucy Burgess, Inside Access here on The Fan. Forgive me, I forget where I was listening to this, but at some point this week, there was a legit conversation being had, it might have been a podcast, about who is living their best life more. Is it Tom Brady or Bill Belichick? And they were legitimately making the argument that because Tom Brady had the roast and it embarrassed his children and all this, well, you are our expert in this region. So who and Belichick, the other argument was he's 72, he's not in great shape, he's got a 20-year-old girlfriend, he doesn't care about much else. So who is living their best life more? Is it Bill Belichick or Tom Brady?
I would say by a slim margin, Tom Brady, because yes, Tom Brady looks great and he's aging like a fine wine, the finest wine, but his eyes seem to have lost their soul. And yes, the roast was very embarrassing, but you also have Giselle posting like a montage of her saying, move your body with Joaquim, the jiu-jitsu instructor, in the video, and the kids with him in the video, and Tom Brady is out here promoting like shark technology, and like, oh my God, he looks sad, and he's posting these selfies and all of that. But what he has, which is why he edges out Belichick in this, is that he knows that he was the reason for the dynasty, and he can have that forever, because since retiring, he has, I think, it has been proven that he, or since leaving the Patriots, proven that it was him. He is the dynasty, because Belichick, since leaving the Patriots, has completely tanked. And Belichick is now an embarrassment. And his whole career now, I don't know if his whole career is an embarrassment, but he right now is it's embarrassing. Tom Brady right now, in his Giselle situation, is seen more as the victim. So I think he has a little less of a... his life, I think, is he's living more of his best life than Belichick is, because also Tom's living in Florida, he's living in Miami. He owns an NFL team. He has all of these jobs and he's good at them.
Yeah.
Belichick, is he good at his job? And being a sugar daddy, probably good at it. But you know, a college football coach remains to be seen. So I would say Tom Brady is more so living his best life than Belichick.
I'm out of the loop on most things, and I've been with the same person for going on 25 years. So I probably don't have the best perspective on this. But you brought up the sugar daddy thing, so you led me where I was going to go. Do the people who think Belichick is winning, like, are we sure that this isn't just a huge public humiliation / behind the closed door denial thing, and that this isn't just like the longest sort of, like, no, the power imbalance isn't the 70-year-old over the 25-year-old. It's that maybe something's been held over his head for so long that he's willing to go to these ridiculous extremes, and maybe he's into getting publicly humiliated, but there really isn't the payoff we all think there is on the other side of it. Has that ever crossed your mind?
Yes, well, I mean, to get to spend any time with Jordan Hudson is, I think, you're winning in general.
Yeah, it's a treat.
I'm not so sure.
Like a delight, you guys.
Oh yes, delightful lunatic.
Well, if you're into public humiliation, she's probably a delight. Yeah, like if that's your fetish.
Right, which it does get to a point. It gets to a point where you think, okay, Belichick has to be some kink that Bill has.
Yes,
where this is something that he does enjoy. Because in the event that is the case, did he leak the audio to Pablo Torre?
Wow,
because he really he loves that. He's like, you know what, I want to
flog me. Yeah,
you're right, Jordan. No, we gotta get a graphics guy. Yeah, they stink. Says Jordan, you're right. You're
Adobe.
So smart. You're right. Adobe Photoshop. Mention Adobe Photoshop as much as possible and call it Adobe Photoshop.
Maybe that's his safe word.
Yeah, that could be a safe word. Yes, that's a great point.
Yeah. Oh, that really gets him going.
Yeah.
Is when you, and so she tries to say it. It's their little inside joke. It's their, yeah, they're, it's like, yeah, but they never use it because they are freaks. So they never use a safe word.
You don't think there's any chance this is platonic? And she's just playing him, and it's the longest,
I do not.
I love to think of it.
I'm rooting for that.
Because wasn't that her place that he was leaving in that video?
Yeah, but we don't know what happened.
Yeah, he's leaving it.
She might have just kicked him in the nuts for 20 minutes and left him in a corner. You have no idea.
It's a walk of shame.
You have no idea. You wouldn't be shamed by that?
Maybe that was part of it. He was like, make sure the Ring camera is recording.
Yes.
And I'm going to walk outside and I'm going to just like breathe.
And all that happened was you kicked me in the nuts. I didn't even really participate.
In that video, he could have just kept walking. He could have just walked out the door. He stopped a little bit so we get a full view of his glorious body and then kind of kept walking. So I think that this really makes more sense as I'm thinking about it, is that this, he really loves this and he loves the embarrassment. So I think it is. I think that's what this is. And he was like, you know what? I got to think of the most embarrassing things possible and do all of them. And that's what's happening right now. And Matt Patricia is the victim of this.
So this begs a follow-up. So, Lucy, when you're looking for a potential Mr. Burge, is there an age range? Is there a world
has this
where,
influenced
yeah,
it?
Is there a world where 70 is the new 30, so to speak? Yeah.
You know, I would love to think yes, just for the sake of just show business.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think that that's the case. Anyone younger than, like, by a wide margin, younger than my dad. No. And older Fair. Than, older, definitely older than 28 or 29 or 30.
So let's just say 30. Just,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Older than me. Like, I don't think 70 would make the cut. It really, to a point where does it matter how much money you have? Right. I don't know if I could wake up every day and do that. It would be I don't know if I could live like that. That's why she's a queen. Like she is doing what I could not. So, you know, anyone who does what I could not, like Olympians, you look at Olympians and you're like, well, you know, they're doing something I couldn't do. So she's the Olympics of sugar daddies. I think she's really just gold medal to her.
Thursday night football. Anything you like tonight?
Yes, I'm going with the Vikings in this one. +3.5 for them to cover. They have a pattern this season of win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. So if this pattern continues, they could outright win or cover would be great, or both if they outright win. +3.5. Carson Wentz also 7-0 on Thursday Night Football, so I'm taking the Vikings +3.5.
Any chance you'd be watching that game or tomorrow night's World Series game with a certain New York Yankees pitcher?
Oh, very good question.
Oh, this is a good question. I don't
save the best for last, Burge.
My invite to the Knicks game was nowhere to be found last night.
Really? That's unfortunate.
I know. What the hell was that all about? No, we'll see. We'll see when he gets back to Boston. I've been told I will be alerted. So
okay.
we'll see.
Nice.
Lucy Burge, let the people know where they can find you.
You can find me at DraftKings or on Twitter at Lucille Burge or Instagram at Lucille Burge or TikTok Lucy Burge 1.
Always great, Lucy. Thanks so much. We'll chat next week.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you next week.
See
you.
Northern Exposure coming up next. What do we think of these... these Cincinnati Bengals, they'll get to 500 if they beat the Jets. We'll hear from Zach Taylor, Northern Exposure, next here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
No, that's not the focus, is the record. The focus is just winning this week and doing everything we can to get ourselves ready for the Jets. And
again, we just watch the tape. I don't look at the record. I just watch the tape, and it's a good football team. They're tough. They're hard-nosed. Defensively, it feels like playing Detroit over the years. You know, we played them twice now, and it's a physical team. You got to earn everything. Obviously, that's where Aaron Glenn came from, and so a ton of respect for him and the staff that he does. I think Tanner Sherm's a good coordinator. You know, he's coordinated before in college, and obviously was part of that Detroit staff. And so now they're finding their foot in there in New York. And, again, I think it's a really good coaching staff. They got talent, and we got a work cut out for us.
That is Zach Taylor, head coach of Cincinnati Bengals, talking about the task at hand against the Jets. Jets are 0-7 with the win. The Bengals are 4-4. By the way, Bengals and Jets, those are two of the three teams that Carl Lawson has played for in his career. He signed with the Ravens today, had five sacks.
I always
thought
he'd be a Raven.
Yeah, that's right, like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So he had five sacks for the Cowboys a year ago. He signs today with the Ravens.
Yeah, they had to do something. And again, this is something that should have been addressed far before now in a far more meaningful way. But, I'm color me not surprised. They've got the worst edge group in the NFL.
Yeah. Carl Lawson has 32 career sacks in seven seasons. So, alas, the Bengals. Is it fair to buy-ish the Bengals? They'll get to 500 with this win Sunday?
I'm buying a little bit of what Zach Taylor's selling there. I do think the Jets' defense has started to make some course corrections. Now, it fell lower faster than I thought it would. I thought Aaron Glenn could have more of a meaningful impact on them. The problem for the Jets is their offense seems to be in a bigger
broken
sense of disarray than ever. But like, if you're looking at an Aaron Glenn defense that's blitzing a lot and getting home a little, and you've got arrested Joe Flacco, who now has a full allotment of receivers and different body types and guys who can beat you different ways. Like, I mean, that's the worst thing you can do is blitz Flacco, not be very good at getting home, and then let him pick you apart. And so I think I really have a feeling that this Bengals offensive train keeps a rolling here. And as long as Flacco is upright and relatively healthy, I think they're going to start hanging 28 to 35 points on people again.
So I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Baldy. Is it possible the Bengals add at the deadline? And they're now feeling a little more optimistic that Burrow could be back in mid-December. Maybe they can keep this thing afloat until he gets back. Where are you?
I think they'll look at the additions being from within, a guy like Hendrickson coming back from injury and Shamar Stewart taking a step. I'd be real surprised. Mike Brown is old school. He operates like a cash budget.
Yeah.
They spend their money. When it's spent, it's gone. That doesn't usually recalibrate.
We don't do what other teams do.
No. And I don't, could they add something? Yeah, but not anything that's going to be a serious cash outlay. But I just think we need to change our sort of purview of this division. And it had just been, well, Steelers come back to earth and Ravens make their ascent. Bottom line is the Ravens have to pass three teams to win this division, and they ain't getting in the playoffs unless they win this division. And they've got to face the Bengals twice, and it's not going to be Browning. It doesn't, unless Flacco gets hurt. So that would be a less optimal time to face them than, you know, had you played them 3 weeks ago. Sort of like, to use the Sean Payton thing, right? He would have rather faced them three weeks ago when it was still Russ. I think you're saying the Bengals, boy, I'd have liked to face them when it was still Browning time.
So could the Bengals win this division?
Could they?
Yes.
I highly doubt it, because I didn't think they were winning it with Joe Burrow, but I'm not gonna rule it out.
Like, with the Steelers, like, there's a world where the Bengals win Sunday and the Steelers lose to the Packers, and all of a sudden the Bengals are 4-4 and the Steelers are 4-3.
Well, you tell me, if there's a world where the Bengals can win in Pittsburgh and a world where the Bengals could sweep the Ravens, then I would say, well, if that world exists, that's a world that probably has them playing a playoff game.
Yeah. I hadn't even gotten that far, but yeah, you're right. I'm just thinking all
and
of a sudden.
They face the Ravens twice in a 3-week span.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, it will not be Jake Browning. It will unless Joe Flacco gets hurt. And Joe Flacco is 40, and the offensive line, last I checked, is still not good.
It is not good.
Bengals host the Jets. That's on Sunday. And again, with a win, they get to 500. Coming up next, we get back to the Ravens. Patrick Ricard is going to play Sunday. It's trending in the direction that Lamar Jackson is going to play Sunday. So what about the Derrick Henry of it all? Where do we go from here? Is this an opportunity to get peak Derrick Henry? We'll discuss next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on The Fan.
Yeah, man, I think still a long season. Still got time to win the division and set ourselves up to have a good season. I know we won in five. Doesn't look good as far as picture-wise, but we still got a lot of games left ahead of us. And like Coach said, when we get some of our guys back, and let's go see where we land.
That's Derrick Henry. By the way, if you're just tuning in, the Ravens have signed free agent pass rusher Carl Lawson. He's had five sacks for the Cowboys a year ago, 30-year-old, went to college at Auburn. Alas, Derrick Henry had his second-best rushing day of the year when last they played against the Rams. He's only had 200-yard rushing games, 100-plus, week one against Buffalo and then the Rams. He's getting Patrick Ricard back. It looks like he's getting Lamar Jackson back. So what do you think about Derrick Henry moving forward?
Well, they have to get the running game consistently back to somewhere, you know, much closer to where it was a year ago than where it is now. And you can certainly create a script. There are scripts where they do salvage this season and maybe even win the division. I have a hard time thinking any of those scripts exist realistically without a truly vibrant, dynamic, and consistent run game. It can't just be one 70-yard run every 2 weeks and then everything else. It's got to be back to the much closer to the percentage of 5-yard runs and 8-yard runs that we saw with Lamar and Derrick Henry in the same backfield a year ago. They have to be a ball control offense. They have to get a volume number of plays, a volume number of running plays, and it has to be multifaceted. It's going to, I believe, require more of the mesh point stuff and the option stuff than we've seen to this point. It's going to be power stuff with Ricard back right up the gut.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, outside zone as well. It's going to have to be that full panorama of running opportunities. And it has to start now. It has to start against the Chicago Bears. It has to start Sunday. Ricard's return is huge. Them sorting out the offensive line, I don't think necessarily huge, but could be impactful. They've got all their tight ends. They've got their fullback. They'll pick their five best offensive linemen, which hopefully includes Ronnie Stanley's practicing fully. Yeah. Like, if he's anything close to normal Ronnie Stanley, even if it's just from the ability and to create holes running the ball, and maybe it's never going to be the same pass pro, that's fine. Because this team it's not about the evolution and the master's thesis level classes and who could we make be the offensive star at any given time. I think it's about kicking it old school a little bit, and the percentage of run plays needs to increase, and the percentage of winning run plays needs to increase.
You know, it's interesting. Last year, they punched people in the mouth. And going into that Detroit game, we talked about the year before, and Henry wasn't here for that. but they punched the Lions in the mouth a couple years ago, and the Lions couldn't recover. And then when they faced Detroit, it was the first time that I can remember in years that they got punched in the mouth, and they didn't know how to react to it. And then they've been punched in the mouth basically every week since. With Ricard back, they have the opportunity to, at the very least, counterpunch and do some of their own punching in the mouth.
Well, to take your analogy further, you could say that their defense has a very punchable face.
Yeah.
Because there's no Matabike, and there's no Pierce, and there's no Brody, and Roquan's is a problem. And so you're sitting there with an opportunity that it's going to look very inviting, and especially to a guy like Ben Johnson who used to run that Detroit offense, it's going to look very inviting to just keep doing that. And if you do that, you're probably going to be able to bully them, and you're going to force the Ravens offense to try to, you know, get 90 yards at a time and do too much and try too much. And that leads to turnovers, and that leads to not the volume of plays that they need. So I think that the part of the reason the run game is so imperative right now is because these defensive deficiencies aren't really going to be fixed. They can't be fixed on the fly. They run too deep. They're too deep-seated in their personnel woes. So this is it, you know? I mean, I think this self-scout bye week for the Ravens offensive coaches, and we'll hear from Monk in less than an hour, is about making this run game as robust as possible and as multifaceted as possible and kind of beating people that way.
How much, like, do you expect a heavy Ricard game? Like, is he playing max, whatever the max snaps that he used to play back in the, is that what we're seeing on Sunday?
Well, I don't, like, again, I don't know if he's up for 50 snaps, 60 snaps. I don't know if there's a number on that. Whatever they feel like the most is probably what they should be, they should be aspiring to. I think you probably come out in heavy personnel, and if they can force us out of it, then they can force us out of it. But this is not, and we'll talk about the Bears defense a little more specifically. This is not a defense that's loaded with two gappers. This is not a defense that has looked good against the run. And it's not like they, if you force them to put more heavy people on the field, it's not like they have a whole bunch of options that they necessarily love. So, yes, I would presume that we're going to get as much Pat Ricard as his body will handle.
Injury report just came out. Would you like to hear it?
Always, especially now with this team. Yes.
DeAndre Hopkins had an illness, so that's
so something's been going around. Yeah. Right, Marlon had it
yesterday, but he practiced full today. Everybody else practiced full except Lamar Jackson, who was limited. Everybody else full.
Yeah, and again, the Lamar thing to me is significant. Because he's going to go into this game not having had a real NFL practice, let alone a game, in basically a month. And
we both expect him to play, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Given how high the stakes are, and given how slim their margin of error has become because their defense is so inept, this could prove problematic.
Let's touch quickly on the Carl Lawson of it all. No way he plays Sunday, right?
Like, I don't know.
They signed him to the practice squad officially, but you know, you can.
They brought him in for the look-see a while back, right?
So I think it was late a week ago.
A little bit of time has passed. I mean, they're getting literally nothing out of their pass rush, and they traded a guy who, well, again, I'm not going to sit here and say he's a great pass rusher, did get 10 sacks for him last year, and that they played without him, and nobody could get a single pressure from the entire edge group. And I think there's reason to be concerned about Van Noy. So, yeah, I don't know. He could play, sure.
Carl Lawson playing 3 days after signing. That would be something. It would be something. But,
I mean,
yeah, you're right.
In this league.
Desperate times, and, yeah, they need pass rush. We saw, you said it, against the Rams, none of their edge guys got close to Matthew Stafford.
I mean, we've seen dudes come out of retirement and play in 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And a reminder that the Ravens are still have two guys tied for the lead in sacks with two, and neither one of them are currently on the roster. Matabike, who's done for the year, and Tavius Robinson, who's done for 2 months.
But again, like, not to say I told you so, but with these guys, I often told you so, that there was every reason in the world to make a move, frankly, more meaningful than this in the offseason to try to fortify against these worst-case scenarios where you're constantly trying to fix your defense and salvage your season, at least to some extent. This is a new low for them.
Yeah.
But defensively, try to be at least competent in terms of pass defense and pass rush. And yet again, the offseason was a washout in terms of that.
Coming up next, the Ravens, that run game. Well, what about the defense it's going against? How good is this Bears defense? We will discuss next here on The Fan.
Yeah, I think, you know, they come in bunches. And these guys, we got a method in place of how we want to practice it. You know, Dennis does a great job with instilling that confidence in those guys, putting them in the right spot. When the ball touches their hands, they're coming down with it. We really don't have many drops on that side of the ball. They're very conscious of it when it's a running play to try to punch at that ball and get it out. And so, you know, it's just really working for us right now. And really, our team needs it. I mean, it's really been the foundation of this last four-game stretch for us.
So that's Ben Johnson talking about his defense, which has gotten 15 turnovers in the last four games, Jason. That's a bonkers number. They seem to be getting them in bunches, as he said. And so you did a deep dive on this defense. What do you think of this Bears defense that is coming in a little banged up?
Well, look, I think that those turnovers, those takeaways are a great sort of Lysol disinfectant for some of their issues, their underlying issues specifically against the run. But look, you've got a plus 11 turnover margin. Nobody else is higher than plus 8. That's going to stand out. Caleb Williams has done a good job protecting the football, and they've turned people over 16 times, which again is a pretty staggering number. Is it sustainable? I don't know. But for our purposes, we're just wondering about
this week,
one more game. So look, that's been tremendous for them. And that's helped them have a top 3 third down defense. But you can bully them on early downs, and that's, again, something segueing from the last segment that I think obviously Derrick Henry and Pat Ricard and Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, Monk, are going to want to do. They're allowing 350 yards a game. That's obviously suboptimal. They're allowing 6.2 yards per play. That's worst in the NFL. A lot of that is due to the run game. 5.3 per carry. Second worst in the NFL. 22nd in success rate against the run, which factors in the situation, what's needed. Game situations, you know, all that. Look, they've got some deficiencies against the pass as well. 7.4 yards per attempt. 28th in the NFL. But teams have been able to hold the ball. Teams have been able to run the ball. Teams have been able to run the ball in what would be, you know, not neutral running situations, that would be sort of more obvious running situations, and have success with that. Now, it hasn't prevented the Bears from winning four straight games, but like they're a below average sack team. They're bottom five in the league in red zone defense, and they're vulnerable to teams that can get heavy on them. And the Ravens, we've seen in the past, can run and throw out of heavy formations. And I would be astonished with Ricard coming back if that's not a big part of the game plan. Now, look, we've said this in the past. I don't know. I'll go back to a championship game here.
Yeah.
Against Kansas City.
Yeah, that was fun.
Where, like, it doesn't always play out that way, but that's got to be the game script that they're sort of aspiring for. And I would think that's a game script that they're going to try to fight for. And I know that they're sitting there saying, man, last time we played football, we ran the ball 16 times in the first half with Derrick Henry. Let's try like hell to do that again.
And this time you'll have Lamar Jackson, which, if you have success running the ball, I feel like you should be able to find some joy in play action, taking some shots, because the Bears, Jalen Johnson, and I don't know when he's coming back. He's on IR. And Tyreek Stevenson, their other starting quarter, has not practiced yet this week.
Yeah, I think this is an over game. The Ravens at home have been sort of a dead over team for a couple of years now, and this version of the Bears with this offense and a defense that still has some deficiencies, this Ben Johnson-led, Caleb Williams-led version of the Bears, is, to me, becoming an over team. So, yeah, I think you might need to score 27 or more to win this game. When I look at both these defenses, that's frankly, the way I see it, because neither has like individuals who are playing particularly brilliant. Yeah, there's some dudes from the Bears who are coming up with takeaways.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's not a run stuffer who looks truly elite. There's not a pass rusher who's taking over games. There's not a corner who's, you know, eliminating the other team's number one receiver. It takes a village to give up 350 yards a game.
So let's get back to something we were talking about last segment, and that is punching people in the mouth, and the Ravens haven't been able to do that in a long time. With Ricard returning, and by the way, the Ravens just waived Zaire Mitchell-Payton, which couldn't, you know, Monk all but said.
He'll end up on practice squad if they want him.
Yeah.
And given the how long Ricard's absence was, at least someone in that role is probably needed in reserve.
Yeah, so Ricard's making his debut Sunday, but is this a team, based on what you've seen with this defense, that the Ravens could punch in the mouth?
Yes, I absolutely. I mean, look, part of who gets to 27 first or 30 first or whatever, obviously you're going to have to complete drives in the red zone. And again, these are two defenses that are struggling in that regard. But, you know, who runs more running plays?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is this a game where, especially if Lamar is more compromised than they want to let on, like, What's the rushing differential between the quarterbacks, both in sort of attempts and explosive runs and whatever? Like, I think, and what we also don't know from an injury standpoint is DeAndre Swift, who didn't do much in practice last week and then came out and was great against the Saints, but it's a groin. So how did he come out of that game? What did that feel like the next day? Obviously, he didn't practice yesterday.
Was limited today.
Limited today. I mean, I think he's going to play, but again, where is he really? How close to 100% is he? If he's ready for a full workload, then I think you can prepare to see him targeted, you know, 6 to 8 times and running the ball 20 times.
Yeah, for what it's worth, the Chicago injury report, Tremaine Edmonds popped up today, limited with an ankle. Kyle Gordon, a DB, popped up today, limited with a groin/calf. No Roshan Johnson, the running back. Braxton Jones, lineman, didn't practice. Cole Kmet didn't practice. DJ Moore, limited. He didn't practice yesterday with a groin. And obviously DeAndre Swift limited. Joe Tooney got a rest day, so nothing to worry about there. But they're dealing with some stuff as well.
It's that time of year.
Coming up next, we get to some Orioles, and it's six pack time. And with the off season here and not much going on, what are the six biggest off season questions for the Baltimore Orioles? We'll answer next here on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.